we're at the end of our time together, and now we get to the good stuff about choice. And to be free-thinking, powerful people, we have to make conscious decisions. Because whether we are conscious or unconscious, our bodies are creative, and it will manifest patterns for us. And so as we become conscious of that process, we can begin to use that to create bodies that are joyful, have vitality, energy, and resilience. This is from Gerald May. Sooner or later, a choice will have to be made to continue on a willful path in which one tries to secure autonomy and self-determination, or to embark on a spiritual path in which one seeks ever greater willingness to become part of the fundamental processes of life in self-surrender. That becoming more and more conscious, developing self-mastery, knowing ourself, and getting in touch with our creative forces. Because if you believe that God is a creator and that we are created in God's image, then we too are creators. And using our creative faculties consciously will allow us to avoid developing some of the pain and illness that is part of human that we see all around us. Some of that is preventable. As we develop more and more mastery, we might find that a large part of that is preventable. Deepak Chopra feels that 99.9% of people don't die of old age, but of the diseases that accompany old age. And if we study the healthy aged to see what they have in common, we find some interesting things about these people. Many studies have been done on the healthy aged. I'll just give you a few things from Deepak Chopra's latest book, Ageless Body, Timeless Mind. And he gives 10 characteristics that accompany active mastery over your life. Number one, you must be able to get in touch with the innermost core of your being, the spirit that animates your entire being. Spirit is not the mind, not the ego, not the emotions, not the body. It's the source. Number two, eliminate toxins from your life. Toxic food, toxic relationships, toxic emotions. Number three, relinquish the need for approval. That need for approval binds us to time and space, and we are seeking to find the divine, which is beyond time and space. Yet it's our ego that wants approval and wants to control. And keeps us referenced to the material plane, this time-space reality. The fourth element of active mastery is using the mirror of relationship as a process for evolution. Those we love and those we hate mirror ourselves. Number five, to being self-nourishing and therefore nourishing to others. When we truly place self in the center, we do not become selfish. But we actually begin to see how there's this give and take. And what I do as a mother, I don't do because my child needs me to do it. Or what I do as a doctor, I don't do because my patients need me, but I do it because I want to do it. It nourishes me first. It's a good feeling to give to other people. When I become resentful and blaming and put upon, then I have to ask myself, what choices have I made here? Number 6, supremely aware of the body as an expression of spirit. Spirit is not divorced from body, but real spirituality is a sensuous experience and leads to action which is spontaneous, precise, and correct in every moment of our existence. Number 7, life is supremely concentrated in the present. To have our attention on what is and to see the fullness in every moment. He says, the presence of God is everywhere. You have only to consciously embrace it with your attention. Number 8 is relinquish the need for judgment, the need to constantly label and describe, define, evaluate, and analyze. And number 9, replace fear-motivated behavior by love-motivated behavior. And love is much more than an emotion. It's the ultimate truth at the heart of creation. It's that unity consciousness or the divine union. And number 10, see the whole universe as a projection of self. That we are surrounded by 360 degrees of mirrors. With these 10 features, we have active mastery, which is grounded in experience. It's not intellectualized. And for most people, we're not grounded in experience because most of us don't even know who we are. So beginning to just stop, notice how you feel, honor self, and know that this body is an expression of spirit. Well, let me tell you a story. I worked in Massachusetts with a couple who had developed an institute, and they adopted a son who had been left in an orphanage, unattended. He was malnourished. They thought he was permanently brain damaged. At a year of age, he did not know how to crawl or anything. He just laid in the crib. With their active pursuit of happiness relating to that child, the child has grown into a actually overweight, healthy young boy who gets straight A's at school. They adopted an older child who was quite a bit older when they got her, had as a young teenager. She was a young teenager when they got her. When I met her, she babysat for my daughter. And I found her to be the most articulate, mature, beautiful child, a young woman I had ever met. Their feeling is that it's never too late. We often say, well, there's no further hope. It's a done deal for a variety of things. And yet miracles do happen, not necessarily when we want them to, but if at any point in your life you develop an awareness of yourself and you're willing to really honor your own experience, trust yourself, and take on that work of exploring, in what way is life unlived in me? In what way have I held back my creativity? There are extraordinary tales of, you know, I don't remember names of women who decided to take up painting at us, you know, very late in life. I don't think it's ever too late. Our bodies are amazingly resilient. Not only can young babies dive off of tables and hit their head on the floor and be fine, but we can drink ourselves to near death and destroy 90% of our liver and still recover our health. So it's a mystery why some of us develop catastrophic illness and some of us don't. It's not just about what we do, but more of an inner sense of ourself, that awareness. Let me read to you from Paul. It says, "Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely and of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things." So today we'll talk about making a conscious decision. Sometimes in meditation it's awfully hard to relax. So training yourself to consciously decide, I mean, how much time do I need to relax? Do I need to meditate 3 hours or an hour? Or in this moment now, can I give myself permission to allow God into my life? It's with both creating that intention of what do I want, and then also creating the means to obtain that intention. To be good at this conscious decision making is simply requires practice. It's no different than playing a musical instrument. We all have trained ourselves to do many things. That much of the habits that we form in our life in reaction to stress is simply training. It was the easiest response we could make at the time, and then we've just stuck with it. If if we want to change into a healthier pattern, we make the conscious decision that, okay, I'm choosing to be healthy, and I'm going to do these things for myself. But on a deeper level, just to simply surrender and be in that presence of God. So we're going to do a meditation together to find that place where you can get rid of all thoughts, to go deep inside yourself and have only a desire for the truth. And the truth is absolute, and it must be found by each of us within our own being. This will be a twofold meditation. One is to relax and focus our awareness, but then it is to allow us to begin to use our five senses creatively. At some point in the meditation, I will come around to each of you with an essential oil so that you can breathe in this oil. It's a very subtle, gentle, not overwhelming sort of thing, but it'll just allow you to make that connection between your that thought that you're holding in yourself of opening up your senses to then a actual scent. So I'm going to ask you to get comfortable. Now, I did want to share with you writings of Dr. Still, where we're not going to be going on a lengthy pursuit of the mind-body connection. There are books written that you can delve into to gain the intellectual knowledge. My desire today is for you to have a body experience. But I read to you from Dr. Still. He was back in the late 1800s. He said, "But we should use caution in asserting that nature has made its work complete in animal forms and has furnished the human with such wisely prepared principles that the physician can administer remedies to suit the occasion and not go outside the body to find them. Should we find by experiment that the body of man is so wisely arranged by the deity that the mechanism itself can ferret out disease and purify and keep the temple of life in ease and health without drugs, we should hesitate to make the fact known. For the opposite opinion has held sway for centuries, and man has by long usage and ignorance adjusted his mind to those customs of the great past. And should he try, without previous training, to reason and bring his mind to the attitude of thought where he can conceive of the greatness and wisdom of the infinite, he might become insane and fall back in a stupor and exist only as a living mental blank in the great ocean of life. It would be a calamity to have all of the untrained minds shocked so seriously that they would lose the reasoning power which they now possess. I tell you there is danger, and we must be careful in shedding the light of truth until people begin to reason and can realize that God has done all that the wisest attribute to him." That was in the late 1800s, we would say attribute to God. You have been training yourself this weekend, so I feel you are ready to deepen your training of yourself, of learning your five senses, so that you can make choices consciously for yourself. Now, sitting comfortably, closing your eyes, monitoring your breathing, without great effort, there's really nothing you need to do. Just pay attention. Relax, and as you relax, notice your breathing. Be a curious, scientist. You've gotten a large endowment from the Institute of Health, and so all your worries are far, far away. It's only your job right now to be aware, to study well the environment you find yourself in. As you relax, sense and feel in your very being all worries and all cares, all stresses and all tensions, any and all discomforts, and any and all diseases melting and floating away from you. Feel and sense them as you imagine best, floating further and further away from you. You are in a safe place, comfortable place. It is a still place. If you find yourself getting distracted, find yourself back into the stillness, that still point between the in-breath and the out-breath. In this stillness, all worries, all cares, all stresses and all tensions, any and all discomforts, any and all diseases have melted and floated away from you deep in this stillness. Allow yourself to rest in perfect harmony with yourself and your surroundings. You feel a great sense of peacefulness. Any and all outside sounds, outside noises, rather than disturbing you, rather than distracting you, they float comfortably off in the distance. They reassure you and remind you that you are in a safe and comfortable place. They soothe you and allow you to drift deeper and deeper. And let these soothing feelings surround you, massage you with peace and calm, health and well-being, guiding you into a fuller and richer level of peace and relaxation. No effort. You enjoy the comforting, soothing relaxation. Going deeper and deeper to a level of calm and tranquility. It is much like entering deep into the heart of a mountain. On the surface of the mountain is great activity, building roads, mountain streams, birds flying, but deep in the center of the mountain is silence. Depending upon where you place your awareness, whether on the surface or deep in the center, you will notice different things. So go down, 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 deep into the center, surrounded by ancient rock that breathes, mature rock that's safe, that regardless of what happens on the surface, the inner self remains undisturbed. So allow that outer activity to do what it may. Allow your conscious mind to go where it may, but let the deep, still part of you pay attention now. It is in this level of deep relaxation and peace that you feel and experience a new joy for life, a new sense of self-worth, self-value, and self-confidence. The confidence grows within you every day, in every way, and you're able to enjoy positive and joyful times, the things of which life is full. Choose peace. Choose silence. It is during these times of deep relaxation and peace that you feel a new sense of inner strength, a new self-confidence that grows within you every day, in every way, even after you awaken from the session. Your sense of vitality and optimism, of enjoying the positive aspects of life, will increase more and more. Choose to relax into the peace. Choose to enjoy perfect harmony of mind, body, and emotions. I do give myself permission to be perfectly healthy, mind, body, spirit. I choose to sense and feel from deep within myself the ability to achieve and accomplish any goal I desire. I choose to sense and feel from deep within renewed self-confidence, self-worth, self-value. I sense and feel from deep within renewed inner strength and energy. And relax now. Let your body change position to accommodate you, to support you. Let your breath come and go. Be unperturbed. As the one who lives deep in the mountain is unperturbed. There is part of us that is free, safe, powerful. Go deep and deep and deep. You are a good person, a kind and giving person. You can relax, sense, and feel from deep within your very being that there is no need to punish yourself for anything. You respect yourself. You forgive yourself for any past actions about which you may have felt guilt. Release the guilt. Let it go. Forgive yourself. Let any and all acts of self-punishment go. Relax. Cleanse. Now, any time during the day or night, anywhere, any time you sense or feel any stress, tension, discomfort, all you need to do is stop and take a deep, comfortable breath, breathing in, and then out. Hold it to your own internal count of four and then slowly exhale. It's simple, easy to do. Consciously deciding, I choose life. And as you slowly exhale the stress or the tension or the discomfort, just will melt away. The stress, tension, or discomfort will just completely melt away, and in its place you will be filled with a feeling and sense of inner peace. I choose peace, an inner calm, inner strength, and renewed health and well-being. It will just happen automatically and beautifully. You want it to be, you expect it to be, and it will be. It is. Simple and easy to do. Now, begin to become aware of this body that you're in a new way. You've given yourself permission to relax. You've taken in a deep breath. You've chosen life. Now let's go further to clear your mind, to bring forth your creativity. This is the exercise of the house of perception. In this exercise, imagine going into the room of each sense, sight, hearing, smell, taste, and touch, and cleansing out any cobwebs in each imaginary room that may be preventing you from perceiving each sense clearly. Close your eyes. Follow your breath in and out of your nostrils. Allow your body to be relaxed, quiet. Now imagine that you are walking down a street and you see a very interesting house. This is the house of perception, the house of your senses. And as you walk into the house, you see that there are many rooms with doors with symbols on them. The first room you come to has a large eye on the door. You open the door and realize that this is the room of vision. It is filled with junk, the garbage that you have put there over the years to prevent you from seeing as clearly as you might. In your mind's eye, see all the junk and cobwebs in the room and begin to clean out the room of vision with cleansers, a broom, a vacuum, whatever you need. You have in your body a whole crew of cleaners trained to efficiently clean up the room. Once you've started the process, they will continue on for you. So even if you haven't completely finished, the cleaning job will be finished shortly with your internal helpers who will throw out all the junk, open the windows, and let the room fill with fresh air. See it bright and shining. Look out the window and see the scene outside, noticing all the colors. Now it is time to leave the room of vision. Proceed now to the room of hearing. It has a big ear on the door. As you open the door, you hear a cacophony of discordant sounds. The room is filled with rubbish. There's a lot of wool on the walls and a thick covering of wax all over the place. The room of hearing. Clean up the room of hearing. Make it as clean. As you can, scraping the wax, throwing out the rubbish. Improving the quality of your hearing. And again, you have internal helpers, a cleaning crew, ready to finish the job. Once you start, they will complete it. When you've finished this cleaning, open the windows and let fresh air swoosh in. Hear it swoosh in. Listen to the breeze as it whispers past you. Now listen closely to all the sounds around you. Listen to your breath. And now it's time to leave the room of hearing. Proceed now to the room of smell. You know the room of smell because there is a large nose on the door. As you open the door, you smell a combination of terrible scents, including old moldy food. Begin to clean the room of smell, really scrubbing all the corners and cracks in the room. Make it light and clean and sweet-smelling. And as you do so, you begin to smell all your favorite scents. Enjoy this room now, breathing in its fragrance deeply. And now it is time to leave the room of smell. Proceed now to the room of touch, which has a large hand on the door. Clean it very thoroughly, throwing out all the junk that prevents you from feeling textures. When you've finished cleaning, move about the room and slowly feel the textured walls. Rub your hands over the wallpaper, which is a mixture of velvet, silk, sandpaper, satin, ice, and tree bark. Notice how good everything feels to your skin. It is now time to leave the room of touch, and later, when you open your eyes, you may want to touch the textures around you. There is one more room to clean, and this room is the attic. You walk up an old spiral staircase to the attic, which is full of cobwebs and bats. This is the room of your sixth sense, the room of extrasensory perception, the room of inner vision. And it is very dusty because it has not been used for a long time. You begin to clean the room of the sixth sense, and you notice a circular window at the far end of the room. It is so dirty that you cannot see out of it. You begin to scrape and wash it clean, and as you do so, a beautiful scene unfolds for you. As you continue to look out this circular window, you notice all the colors, sounds, smells, tastes, and textures about this scene. It is now time to leave the room of the sixth sense. You close the door, walk down the spiral staircase, past the rooms of your five senses, and you leave your cleaning materials in the hall closet. You leave the house of perception and find yourself sitting here. count yourself up from 1 to 5. 1, I'm growing in conscious awareness. 2, this awareness is healing. 3, the healing continues on even after I end this exercise. And 4, when I end this exercise, I will be alert, aware, balanced. 5, I end this exercise by opening my eyes when I'm ready. When I originally planned this workshop, I thought I would go into all the nuts and bolts of the mind-body connection and give you all this information, and I didn't do that. I've asked you to have an experience in your body, to stop it for a moment, to just feel your feelings, to begin to train your mind to work with your body by sitting in stillness. To feel the presence of God in that silence. And to trust that although we may not understand the reasons of why we have illness or pain or suffering, we can make a conscious decision for God, surrender to God, seek holiness, protection, and peace. And what we hold in our mind most dearly, that utmost thought in our mind, is our God. So if we're focused on the pursuit of money, or we're focused on protecting ourselves from injury, when I went into my internship, I didn't extend myself too much because I thought, you know, if I'm going to work 80 hours a week, I don't want to get sick. I don't want to die. My dad died when he was 31. I want to have a long life. So I held back, and what I realized only now is that part of me thought that I would get sick, that I had to protect myself, and I didn't really allow God to protect me and to just put myself fully into that experience. So that which we hold most in our mind is our God in many ways. And it sends a clear message into our body. So when you notice your body acting a particular way, then begin to say, what message have I been giving my body? Is it the message I want to give? What kind of experience have I been giving myself? And would I rather choose to humbly and patiently point myself in a better direction toward God? So I apologize for not giving all the scientific stuff of the mind-body connection. There's many books to read on it, and I hope I've given you an experience of your body in a new way. Some food for thought. And the last quote I have is from Psalms. In thy presence is fullness of joy. When you are in the presence of God, which is within us, you'll feel that joy. When an event happens and I'm reacting to that event and I feel within myself fear or anger or guilt, then I'm not in the presence. If I can find a way to be happy with what's going on and still hold true to my desire, I may not agree with certain policies or procedures or things, but is there a way for me to hold in myself a state of joyfulness, being present, being grateful for the mystery, if nothing else, being accepting, to be happy with whatever's going on and still go for what I want. I have something I want to create in my life. I'm not going to be satisfied I'm not going to resign myself to this reality, but I will accept it. I will be happy with it, and I'll move forward in a positive direction. Well, today you invited me to your place, to see your place. You invited me yesterday, and I said, what I tried to say was, I'm not ready to say yes yet, but let me think about it. So I have time to prioritize. Because we all have desires, but what is our utmost desire? Because we may have a desire to be spiritual, but if our utmost desire is to be successful, we're going to put spirit under monetary success. I have had a desire to be spiritual, but more importantly, I had the desire to be right. And so I spent a large part of my life being angry. And I thought I was spiritual. Well, I was trying to be spiritual. I knew I wasn't really quite getting the hang of it, but it wasn't until I understood being conscious about my choices. Today, I want to share myself with you. I want to come over to your house. And I made that decision consciously. But I didn't do it to please you. And so throughout the days, we try to stay in touch with what's our gut instinct tell us. Is there a part of us that's fooling us into thinking we're not safe, like I did when I was in my internship? I thought I was vulnerable, more vulnerable than I really was. It turned out I never got sick. I mean, it was amazing to me that how cared for I was, that allowed me to do that job. When you find yourself in a situation that you don't like, be honest about how you're feeling, but come back to what's your utmost desire. My utmost desire in this moment, my utmost desire is to delight in this moment now. I want to have a life of delight, because that has been my greatest experience in my life, is having delight. So when I'm faced with a person I don't like, or their opinions I don't like, or something, I'm stressed by this event going on. How do I balance things out? How do I stay as a person? How do I stay as a person who's empowered, a person who is spiritual in my body, not just in thought alone? So you have to do some writing with yourself. And I'm going to give you a homework, if I can find it, that you'll take home with you to write on. If you'll bear with me a minute. Probably bring it up from memory, but that's always a little less. What parts of yourself have you not been using that you need to use to reach your goals?
Could you repeat that, please?
What parts of yourself have you not been using that you need to use to reach your goals? It's in that struggle of success versus failure, of self versus other, that we have to work it out.